all his house. Father, add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the exposition of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been looking at the book of Acts, and specifically we're in the place where Stephen is kind of going through the patriarchs, and the patriarch that Stephen is on right now is the patriarch Joseph. And so we've been talking about Joseph's life. It's kind of too rich to just pass by in a real fast manner. And so we just kind of taking our time, just slow cooking it, amen, because there's so much to get out of here. Especially today, I believe we have a real rhema word that we all would do well to pay attention to, because it's going to affect, amen, all of our future, amen, and even our survival. As we talked about Joseph, we saw how Joseph's brothers were moved with envy and how they sold him into Egypt, threw him in a pit. We also saw that though he was in slavery, was in prison, no matter where he went, God was with him, and he rose straight to the top. We saw how, even in this newer series we've been covering, how God, amen, delivered him out of all of his afflictions. And no matter where Joseph was, amen, God's favor was with him, amen. And how the Bible tells us, amen, that the king's butler and the king's baker wind up going to the same prison that Joseph was in. Joseph interprets their dreams. It comes out the exact way that Joseph interpreted it. But Joseph told the butler, just remember me. Think on me when you get back in the kingdom. And the butler forgot. 2 full years passed, if you remember. And Pharaoh, amen, had a dream. And nobody in the kingdom could interpret Pharaoh's dream. None of the wise men, none of the physicians, none of the magicians. And the Bible says that the butler said, I remember my fault this day. And he told Pharaoh about Joseph. And Joseph was brought before Pharaoh suddenly. And Pharaoh said, I heard you can interpret dreams. And Joseph said, nah, it's not in me. To God be the glory. God is the giver of dreams and the interpreter, if y'all remember the text. We pick up this morning, amen, while Joseph is in the presence of Pharaoh. Pharaoh tells Joseph his dreams. Seven heads of cattle, 7 ears of corn, some healthy, some ill. Joseph interprets that God had revealed to Pharaoh his secrets, his mysteries, that Egypt is about to go through 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. We pick up right where we left off, amen, hallelujah. What our third point we'll cover is called governor over Egypt. Say that with me, governor over Egypt. And we get that from Acts 7:10. The Bible says, and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And the Bible says, and he made him, Pharaoh made Joseph, what? Governor over Egypt and all his house. Now to pick up the full story, amen, we turn back to Genesis 41, if you will. Take your Bibles, turn back to Genesis 41. And we want to start at verse 33, Genesis 41 and verse 33. And just want to tell you that we learned that Joseph was a dreamer and that one of his spiritual gifts, amen, was that he would receive visions and dreams, but he'd also be able to interpret it. But I want to tell you, Brother Harvey, that was not the only gift that Joseph had. Amen. And we were encouraging everybody in the membership class and even in Philly, every single one of us have a gift. At least one gift. But the likelihood of it is, amen, you don't only have just one gift. You got a whole, amen, portfolio of gifts, amen, that work hand in hand together. And so we're going to see Joseph, amen. We saw him operate in the visions and the dreams and interpretation. And right now, Joseph's other gift is about to kick in, amen. And it's his gift of administration. Amen. And that gift of administration, amen, in other places as the gift of governments, it's a leadership type of gift, amen, where a person, amen, can lead a group of people, amen, to fulfill a vision. All right. A visionary has a vision. Amen. Something given by God. All right. The administrator would be the hands and the feet to get that vision fulfilled. And the better administrator, hallelujah, will be the person who can work that vision out into the meticulous details, amen, and get it done exactly. Somebody say exactly. Exactly how God wants it to be done. According to the vision of the tabernacle, the Bible says in Exodus, amen. That's the administrator. And administrators, amen, are key to the kingdom. Somebody say key to the kingdom. That's right. Because God's body is a large body, and you need leaders to be able to direct these groups of people, these different ministries, amen, to get done what needs to be done, amen. Hallelujah. Your first lady is a master administrator to the glory of God, amen. Hallelujah. She's a master administrator, amen. It's gotten so bad she has a team of administrators that she works with, amen, and they help us put on the School of the Hebrews, amen. You'll rarely see them, amen. Hallelujah, because they do most of the work before the event. But if you look close, they'll be in the backdrop, kind of overseeing and watching everything, making it go well. Amen. If you see a problem come up, the administrators will come up. Amen. Hallelujah. Huh, Sabrina, you got that gift too. Huh, Sabrina. Amen. Hallelujah. I can point them out in here if y'all want me to. Y'all want me to point them out? Walk through the aisles. Y'all want me to point them out? Huh? Ms. Ronika saying no, because you got one. Amen. Where Kendrick Martin at? Kendrick Martin? Hallelujah. All right. Miss Crystal got some administration. Amen. Miss Chantel, you decorate? All right. But they got them in here, y'all. Hallelujah, Miss Bridget. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That intention to detail. Amen. The way you know plays, TP, you might have something working with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me not waste my time too much. Harvey, I'm watching you because you know what I'm saying? They'll dress a certain way. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Because they see things that other people don't see. They see things. Attention to detail. All right? Let me not go into it. It's not the spiritual gifts class. But you'll learn all of that in the spiritual gifts class. We're about to see Joseph, another master administrator, get to work. Let's look at 41:33. All right? Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. All right? Stop right there. You see, Joseph is just not about to tell Pharaoh the problem. He's about to also tell Pharaoh the solution to the problem. All right? We got so many people want to stand up and tell us what's wrong with the Hebrews and what's wrong with America, but they ain't giving no solutions to what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? I sit in meetings all day, Park, and all they do is complain about black America, complain about white America, complain about America, America. But ain't nobody giving no answers. You understand what I'm saying? So I love that about Joseph, amen. If you're going to talk about something as being wrong, amen, then tell us how to fix it. Tell us how to correct it. Tell us how to get it back on track and get it right, amen. Joseph is about to go administrative right now. He's about to black out, amen. He's about to black out, amen. He's about to tell Pharaoh how to get this done. And the first thing he tells Pharaoh, he says, Pharaoh, listen, yeah, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and it's going to be 7 years of famine, amen, hallelujah. But listen, we don't have to die, amen. We don't have to die, amen. Just same way God will show you the problem, God will show you the answer, the solution, so you can fix it. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Woo! That's awesome about God. He'll rarely ever show you a problem without showing you the answer to that problem, amen. And so Joseph tells Pharaoh, he says, set a man over the land of Egypt. Set a man, set somebody, amen, over Egypt whose job it will be to get ready for the coming famine. We know it's coming, amen. We need to set somebody over that, amen. That's administration already, all right? He sees a problem, amen. He knows, amen, that we got to get somebody on that problem. Matthew Henry comes up with a great statement, amen, and I'll put it up there so you can see it. Matthew Henry says, that which is everybody's work ends up being nobody's work. And so you got to understand that. We know that a problem is coming. Amen. You don't just tell everybody, okay, everybody, no. Because what's going to happen is the person on the right going to say, I thought you was preparing. Person on the left going to say, well, I thought that was your job. What's everybody's job winds up being nobody's job. So one of the administrative secrets is put somebody over it. Put somebody over it. Delegate somebody to look over this particular thing, or it's going to be some trouble in the future. And Joseph was telling him, yes, it's of vital importance that you prepare for this famine. But listen, You put somebody over it, Pharaoh, but don't just put anybody. He says in Genesis 41:33, he says, hallelujah, look out a man who is discreet and what? And wise. Now, when I looked up the Hebrew of these two words, amen, they kind of mean a little different than what it looks like in the English, and so we'll talk about it. When he says the discreet, amen, that's the Hebrew word banei. Somebody say banei. It literally means to have a good mind, to be intelligent, to be prudent, to have understanding, to be diligent, to be able to separate things mentally in your mind, amen, and categorize them and administrate them. He's saying, listen, find somebody that's discreet with a good mind. He says, not only discreet, amen, but you need somebody wise as well. And the Hebrew word, amen, for this wise, amen, I'm going to probably mispronounce it, is shakam. Somebody say shakam. It's almost like Shaka Khan, but it's shakam. All right? And shakam, hallelujah, you not only need somebody with a good mind, but the shakam means to have a wise heart. You remember when Solomon, amen, was praying for wisdom? He didn't say, give me wisdom in my head. He said, give me a wise heart. Give me a heart. Give me a heart that's understanding. A heart. So while discreet in the Hebrew here means a good mind, wise in the Hebrew here means to have a good heart. Oh, God have mercy. God have mercy. And this was good to me. This was good to me. This shakam means to be wise-hearted. It means to have a good heart, to be ethical and moral. The Strong's Concordance says to be religious, but we wouldn't say religious. We would say spiritual. Amen? And so to be discreet and wise means to both have a good mind, but also a good heart. And Joseph was saying, Pharaoh, if you're going to put somebody over this to make sure we don't go through famine, make sure they have a good mind and a good heart. You see, Philadelphia, sometimes people have a good mind, but they don't have a good heart. Oh, are you listening to me up in here? All right. And that's not somebody you want to delegate to do anything. You got a lot of people like that, especially in our day and age. The mind is as sharp as a whip, amen, sharp as a tack, amen, but they don't have a good heart. You put them in some type of place of authority, amen, their heart's all messed up, they're going to steal from you. Huh? You put them under you in some authority, they're going to steal from you. They're going to lie to you. They're going to be jealous of you. You gave them the position and they're jealous of you. You paying them and they're jealous of you. You see? Selfish. You put them over something and they're leading only for themselves. You see, they have a good mind. They could do the work, but they got a bad heart. A bad heart. Joseph said, make sure they have a good mind and a good heart. That's what you're looking for. You see, y'all leaders in here. All right? And as leaders, you want to strive to have a good mind and a good heart. Listen to me. If they don't have a good heart, they're going to try to overthrow you sooner or later. All right? So for your businesses, for your ministries, watch who you have close by you. They won't be loyal to you. You set them up, and when it's time to listen to you, they're not going to listen. That's a sign of a bad heart. All right? When trouble happens and division occurs, you set them up in position, but guess what's going to happen? They're going to go with the side that's against you. That's like Ahithophel, what we studied in 2 Samuel. He was wise as all outdoors, had a very good mind. He could plan things, amen, but had a bad heart. His heart was messed up, all right? You see, to be useful for the kingdom, you got to have both gifts and talents, but also spiritual and moral and ethical. You got to have a good mind, a good heart. One prophet told me like this, you got to have the bells and the pomegranates. On the skirt of the high priest at the bottom, he had a bell and a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate. Pastor, what's a pomegranate? A pomegranate is fruit. A bell is something shiny. A bell is something loud. A bell is something that's going to attract people to you. That's your gift. It's going to make room for you. But don't strive to just have gifts like singing and teaching and preaching, amen. Strive to have fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit, man. Amen. To be a good person. All right? So some people just have good minds, But I got to continue, all right? Some people have just good hearts, but they have undeveloped minds. I won't say a bad mind because everybody in here got a beautiful mind. But it's a mind that's undeveloped, a mind that's not shown attention and invested in, a mind that's misused and abused, amen? What you want to strive for is to have both a good heart and a good mind. Some people just have good hearts but nothing in the head. Are y'all listening up there? All right? They're not useful. They can't do anything. They have no skill, no knowledge. Can't even carry a good conversation. They just pomegranates, but no bells. Oh, y'all got quiet out there. They don't know their giftings just yet. Don't know their talents just yet. But they're good people, meaning that you could trust them with whatever. And they're loyal, and they're going to be down with you, amen. But when you have a need to put somebody over something, sure you would pick them. But they can't do anything. You will see many movements, especially among the Hebrews, fail because of this. The leaders can discern, amen, good hearts. And so we put people with good hearts over things, but the infrastructure fails because sometimes the people with the best hearts don't have the best equipment to run what you put them over. Oh, God, I'm. Anybody listening here? And this is the challenge of leadership, to find that perfect balance. Another thing you can do as a leader, when you find somebody with a good heart like that, you develop them. You develop them. You invest in them. You send them to school. You give them the spiritual gifts test. You try to give them a vocational test to find out, amen, where they're gifted at, where they can work at, amen. You want to develop them. Don't make them be something. Find out what God made them and then invest in that. Pull that out of them, and then you can set them up, all right? You can invest in them where you can help them hone in the gifts and the talents. And you can do that, too, with people with bad hearts, yeah. Because how many people know that God gives new hearts? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Because you got some, they have the skill, and as a leader, you're going to have to be able to see that. You got to be able to tell who's salvageable and who's not. Right? When a car gets in a wreck, some people throw it away. But other people can look at that wrecked up car, that old messed up car, and look at that and say, it's salvageable. And I'll buy it. Amen. I'll buy it. And you can put what you want on the title. You can put what you want on the title because it might be a salvage vehicle on the title. But after I get through with it by the grace of God and with the word of God and by the spirit of God, that thing, woo, will be something that'll give God glory. You see, where you start at if you got a bad heart, you see, you will know yet. You will know. You will know. And usually the two people married to each other, that's how God will do it. One got a good mind but a bad heart. They'll have a good heart, but not developed in the mind all the way. I'm not saying a bad mind. I'm not saying a bad mind. It's just about attention. Sometimes they be married to each other. Couples, don't y'all look at each other and say, oh, you got a bad mind. Don't you say that. And don't you be thinking about me and first lady who got the boy with him. Because we didn't develop each other. Man of God, learn how to develop your wife. Woman of God, learn how to develop your husband. Help them out wherever they're weak. Oh, I'm just going, babe. I'm just going. All right? Where do I start, Pastor, if I don't have as good of a heart as I need? I see it in myself. I'm not that ethically sound and morally sound and as loyal. And where do I start? You start at the cross. You ask me where you start. You start at the cross. You see, because at the cross, God promises us in that new covenant, I'm going to take away that stony heart. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, a malleable heart, a heart that I can shape and use. You start at the cross to fix that old heart. You admit to God that you're a sinner and you got a heart problem. You believe in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And when you believe, amen, When you believe and when you confess that Jesus is Lord, God's going to give you a new heart. He's going to give you a new start. Amen. You've been blessed. You got a good mind, but that mind needs a new heart to team up with so that the actions that you do when you use your mind won't be actions of sin and actions that have a root, amen, of iniquity, but it's going to be operating out of a good mind and a good heart, and then you're going to be able to do the work of the Most High God. Oh, God, I'm trying to. Joseph said, make sure whoever you get have a good mind and a good heart. If they don't have a good mind, the work going to fail and we all going to be hungry in 7 years. If they don't have a good heart, they're going to save the food. But they're going to do it for themselves and stab you in the back. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Figure out where you are. Figure out which one you're stronger in. And get to work. And get to work. Because for this movement, we're going to need both. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Verse 34. Look at it. Let Pharaoh do this. And let him appoint officers over the land. And take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt. In the seventh plenteous years. So Joseph tells him, amen, set a governor over the land. A master administrator. To make sure we store up this food in the seven plenteous years. But you should not only appoint a governor over the land to oversee the whole land of Egypt, but you're going to have to appoint some other officers under him. I'm talking about Miss Owl. He is getting his administrative work on. He's setting Pharaoh up a whole administrative branch of his kingdom to lead, amen, in these famine conditions. Why does the governor need officers under him? Well, the governor will not be able to do it all by himself. This is one of the secrets of administration, and it is what we call delegation, right? If you have the administrative gift, amen, and maybe you also have a service gift, those are two awesome gifts to have, but they kind of work against each other sometimes. The administrative gift will see a problem, know how to fix it, and the service gift won't mind fixing it yourself. And so you'll see administrators like that. They know what to do. They know how to lead people, but sometimes they get flustered and frustrated with people, and they say, if you won't do it, I'm going to just do it myself. That limits your administrative gift. Could you imagine just one administrator over the whole country of Egypt trying to make sure every city is saving the necessary food? Nah. You got to learn how to delegate. You got to learn how to take duties, amen, that other people can do and allow them to do that. It blesses you because it frees you up. It blesses them because it gives them more responsibility, teaches them more leadership, teaches them more administration. You develop people when you delegate. Oh, I'm going in. I'm going in. Stop doing everything. Teach somebody something. Man of God, stop doing everything in the house. Delegate. Teach somebody something. When you go, mama and children ain't going to know how to do anything because you done did it all. Amen. Woman of God, teach somebody something. When you go, amen, children won't be able to do anything. You've been so strong. So loving, so service oriented that you're raising up people who ain't going to be able to do nothing for themselves. They're going to be looking for mama. Where's mama? Where's mama? Delegate. Let them save the dishes. Let them put on their own shoes. Let them learn how to brush their teeth. Let them pick up their room. Let them fix the bed. Let them. Jen like, Pastor, that's all right, Pastor. You see, appoint officers under the governor. Let them lead jurisdictions in different regions and areas, and let them report to the governor himself. Yes, remember Jethro came to Moses? He told Moses, what you do is not good. You got millions of people, Moses. And then people all coming before you, and you hearing their issues one at a time. Just you, Moses. Your dad from sun up to sundown. Moses, you're going to kill yourself. And you're going to kill this people. And I know sometimes, amen, y'all in here, y'all want to see pastor. Y'all want to talk to pastor. Call church. Well, we got a minister here that is ready to talk to. No, I don't want no minister. I want to talk to pastor. I want to see pastor. I want pastor. Where pastor at? Where pastor? Oh, no, 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 no. Pastor has learned the importance of delegating, baby. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Talk to the deacon. Talk to the minister. Amen. Talk to the worship leader around here. You talk to anybody you want. But you ain't gonna always get pastor. Nah. How long y'all want pastor to be here? Thank you, Lord. Oh, Miss Sue, that's why I love you. Somebody say delegate. Delegate. All right, all right, all right. That's wisdom. That's administrative wisdom. Now let's get to some stuff right here. Y'all ready, T? Hallelujah. Let's get to some stuff. Look at the scripture again. Amen. Where Joseph appoints in 34. He appoints officers over the land. And look what he tells Pharaoh to tell the governor and the officers. Take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Come on, tell your neighbor, take up a fifth. Not that type of fifth. How dare you think about that in church? That take up a fifth, amen, is a fraction that literally means 20%. 20%. And the plan was that during the years of plenty, that the governor and his officers would save 20% of everything that the land would produce. Because it's producing, I'm talking about, hallelujah, about a handful. It's producing 100, 200% more, amen. So you don't need all of that. Take 20% and set it on the side. 20% and set it on the side. And when the famine comes, amen, because you were so diligent and so thrift and so frugal in the years of plenty, when the storm comes, you're going to have something to weather the storm. Oh, come on, give God some glory, all right? Now, saints, I believe that this is a rhema word for us today. For Hebrews and also our Gentile European counterparts. This is an awesome word for America. You see? I believe that we are in a time of plenty in America. And I know what you're thinking about the Dow Jones and this and that and the other. Don't worry about that. I want you to look at how we live in today. And I want you to think about how you was living 10, 20 years before this. I want you to look at the type of houses and cars we drive today. We don't drive houses. Houses we live in and cars we drive. Amen. My braid's too tight. And I want you to think about the house you grew up in, the cars you used to drive, what you used to eat back then, and what we eat now. You see, you need to open your eyes. I know you think it's hard times, yeah. But you ain't seen hard times yet. Woo! You ain't seen hard times yet. You're driving Audi. You know what I'm saying? I ain't calling out y'all calling it well, but I'm saying. It's years of plenty, yeah. It's years of plenty. All right? Now here's the other part of that. I believe famine is coming. I didn't get no claps on that one. I'm just saying. I understand. I believe famine is coming. It's coming where? It's coming to America. Oh, yeah, like Eddie Murphy. It's coming to America. Oh, yeah, storm clouds are gathering quickly. America and the rest of the world will be judged. They will be judged for the gross iniquity and wickedness that's being perpetrated on the face of the earth. God has and always will judge sin. You can't sit here and know that there's a God in heaven and know of the wickedness that's going on in the earth, being allowed, smiled upon, even preached from the pulpits and done by the pastors, and think that God's not going to judge it. Judgment is coming, and it's coming to America and the rest of the world. I'm here to tell you that. I'm here to tell you that. And when it happens, it's going to be right. Oh, yeah, they're going to record it. They're going to talk about it. When it happens, it's going to be right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Think about the wickedness. Think about the abominations. I got one area I'm going to talk about. Think about what they're doing to children in America and around the world. Think about the human trafficking. Think about the rape that's going on right now with children. Every time we turn on the news, another child got abused. Think about the molestation, even in the houses. This starts, the way we treat our children today, it starts off with abortion. It ends, amen, with some segments of our society that'll tell you it might even be too hard for you to believe, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it is going on, from abortion to human sacrifices with our children. And it's going on. And I know this. I know this. If I had to explain to you the level of wickedness that's operating in the darkness, you wouldn't believe it. What you see on the news as wicked, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You're just looking at the tip. You think the web is wicked? You ain't been on the dark web. Gross iniquity. Somebody say judgment. Famine is coming. Catastrophe is coming. It could be man-made. It could be natural disaster. But ultimately, God will be behind using the mystery of iniquity to judge mankind once again, like he has done in times past. What I tell you this morning, burn it upon your heart. Write it in your mind with a pen of iron, with a tip of a diamond. Get ready. Get ready. Tell your family. Tell your friends. Tell everybody you know that judgment is coming and we got to get ready. Come on, look at your neighbor on one side. Tell him, I ain't going to say take a fit. Tell him, put away 20%. Come on, tell your other neighbor, put away 20%. All right? Don't tell him take a fit. Let me give you three basic categories where you could start putting away to weather the coming storm. You see, God is righteous. He's holy. And he doesn't want to destroy the good with the wicked. He always get his people ready. The Bible says he never do anything without letting his prophets know first. Anybody hear me up in here? So listen, regard this as your warning, now. Regard it as your warning. Every time God do something, he always keep the good. He didn't kick all the angels out of heaven. He kept the elect. When he flooded the earth, he kept Noah. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he got Lot and his daughters and tried to get his wife out of there, but Lot's wife kept turning back. Look, judgment is coming. Who are you going to be, Lot or Lot's wife? Pastor, what can I do? What can I do to prepare? Put away 20%. 20% of what, Pastor? Food. food. You're not going to get this at too many churches. I understand that. Food. Pastor, what you're saying, and when I say food, don't get too meticulous on me. I mean food and water. And there's some other things we can throw in there, but I for the sake of time, I can't tell you every single detailed thing. You're going to have to go do your homework. But put away food. Save food and water. If you go to the store and buy 5 canned goods, amen, hallelujah, when you get home, put one up. Put one up. Eat the 4 and put one up. That's what 20% look like. You see what I'm saying? If you go out there, amen, and you buy, hallelujah, water, put a little bit of water away. Huh? What you save is important not to use. All right? Because if you're like me, amen, we saving some stuff or you know, I'm holding on to something and you might, oh, man, well, I'm thirsty. Man, well, let's just go get that water in there. No, don't get that water in there. I need some pork and beans. No, not pork and beans. I need some red beans. Well, you know we got them red beans. Leave it there. Put it up and forget about it. Put it up and forget about it. Come on, say that. Put it up and forget about it. I got another thing for you. What I'm telling you to put away, listen, it's time of plenty, famine coming, judgment coming. What I'm telling you to put away, 20%, I'm telling you that. Don't rely on nobody else to do it for you. Amen. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Don't rely on nobody else to do it. Remember what Matthew Henry said, what's deemed to be everybody's work ends up being nobody's work. And so you look at everybody else, I thought you were prepared. I thought you were prepared. Nah, don't worry about anybody else. You better prepare for you in your house. Get your stuff together because judgment is coming. Oh, I don't know if y'all hear me up in here. You got to do it. You don't go get prepared and you go knock to the people house that you've been relying on. And the people not dead because they done escaped or got picked up by the government. Or you try to go to them people's house and them people close the door. What's your name? Man, I'm your brother, man. I'm sorry, I don't have no brothers. You would hate to have that happen in the time when you need them most. And if they don't do that, fine. And y'all come together, fine. Well, nobody coming empty. You got something you prepared. I got something I prepared. We come together, now we both prepared. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Okay, all right. Pastor, what do I store up? Listen, canned goods. I got a little pick for canned goods. People don't know what canned goods is. Canned goods. Yeah, you prepare. Oh, Pastor, we ain't preparing no canned goods. Them canned goods go bad, and they don't do good, and they this and that. Yeah, okay. If there's with a dent in it, don't eat it. But I guarantee you, when it break loose, you're going to want some canned goods. All right? You're going to be eating the one with the dent in it and everything. But we're going to die anyway if we don't eat it. Non-perishables I'm talking about. Clyde, tell them, Clyde. MREs. You see? Them ready meals. Military. Get your box of that. I'll be like, I got that, Pastor. You know what I'm saying? MREs. I mean, you can just open and eat. I'm not saying it's going to be good, but it's going to get you through. At this point, you will not be worried about taste. I'm Mr. Flucius. Listen. Now, all right, it depends where you are in this game. If you just kind of making it and you want to start just a little bit of canned goods is the place to start. A little water. You got a little extra money? Get you some MRE. You want to take it to another level? You can get you some whole canisters, some 5-gallon buckets. Let me show you one of the companies that provide this. It's called the Wise Company. Amen. Brent, you got another pick for me? Hallelujah. The Wise Company. Hallelujah. No, that's not it. That's not it. Hallelujah. You can flip it back. Amen. Write this down. Yeah, there you go. You can buy a whole little canisters right there. And listen, what you want to have is food for about 6 months. 6 months to a year. Because if you know anything about the elite, they know that when it fall, amen, most people ain't going to survive 6 months. You want to survive. So you get you some canisters. Now, instead of you going to the grocery store buying one canned good at a time, you could just get online at Wise Company or Mountain House, and you could buy one that's going to cover you for the 6 months. Put it up. Now you're done with that. Shelf life for 25 years. And I'm talking about eat good. Flip it. I got a picture of some of the things that they show. No, that's another one. Mountain House. Write that down. You can go get them. Amen. Come on, flip it again. You see that? That's how them containers. I'm telling you. You mess around, can't wait for a tragedy. Be up in there cooking that. Hey, wait, I thought we was. Oh, boy, it rained this morning. You don't know if that rain ever going to stop, them pancakes. And them burgers, that's black bean burgers. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you can hold on to that. You can hold on to that. They got dried fruit. They got grits. They got milk alternatives. Listen, you can eat good if you prepare during the times of plenty. Y'all ain't going to get this in too many other places, no. Come on. As a church, we can only do so much. Y'all know we got a little storehouse, all right? Well, we got a lot of people come to this church. And it'd be one can good per 100. It'd be for you, being for me. All right? All right? It's too many people. Too many people. And we're doing the best we can. We're doing the best we can. But what if we got our little storehouse, but you prepared at home too? Anybody hear me up in here? Then we could use our storehouse to feed other people because we all individually prepared. We done took a little money out, put it on the side. We got it done. Now we're done with that, Ken. We're done with that. It's a rainy day. 20%. Take a fit. You see? All right. We want to put that back in operation. We've been forgetting about it. Let's throw up the storehouse. Every first Sunday, bring a canned good. And it just so happened the first Sunday is next Sunday. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. Joseph told Pharaoh, put somebody over that. All right. We got Miss Chandra is one of them that's over that. Amen. Where Kendrick at, B? Okay, we're going to put Kendrick with Miss Chandra on that. That's one of the master administrators, too. You see? What you say, Doc? You know it, huh? That brother that tied his shoe administratively. All right? We'll put some people over that. We want to fill that place up. So next Sunday, bring a can. Good. All right? Now, if you're bad, bring more than one. You know what I'm saying? So we can have two beans. Well, two for you and two for me. All right. Pastor, why are you saying this and you're just coming out with this? Listen, we have a good friend who works in government, you know? And so she sent us a communication. And she said, I just got out of high-level meeting. She said, I'm telling all my friends, all my family, to stock up on water, on canned goods, on seeds. She come out to meet. Now, this is a good friend. We've been knowing them. We got parents of their children. You understand what I'm saying? This family for us. All right? And God knows what I'm about to preach. God knows what I'm about to preach. She texts us, what, this week? Just got out of me. You better prepare. Department of Homeland Security and FEMA on the cool, they putting out flyers and leaflets. We done drove through different towns, amen, on the East Coast, done seen billboards. Huh? This is one of the flyers, amen, they had kind of showed it earlier, that flyer that was in the red that y'all got to Brent, amen. They want everybody to have an emergency kit, yo, with some food and medicine. Listen, coming up, I ain't never saw this before. Come on. The government telling me to stock up on food, I ain't never saw this. Somebody know what's coming. It's just us that don't know. Oh, God, have mercy. You know what I'm saying? And they got too many words on that for some of us. We ain't reading all that. What else, Pastor? Well, the rich preparing. Marvel, you heard about that? The billionaires and millionaires, you know what they're doing? They're buying bunkers, man. And they're storing bunkers up with supplies. Supplies that I'm kind of telling y'all about, the rich doing that. Let me show y'all a picture of that. Come on. Come on, help me out, Sambu. Move fast with me so we can get through this sermon. Come on, Sambu. Hallelujah. They're buying bunkers. They're preparing to bug out. Come on, flip again. Flip again. Hallelujah. Look at that. They're building them. They buying old missile silos that go hundreds of feet underground, and they turning them out into apartment complexes. Go ahead and flip another one. They buying these things, man. It's only us that don't know what's coming. You know what I'm saying? They prepping, man. They getting ready. Flip it again, Sambu. Come on. You see? Hallelujah. I can't see that without my glasses. You see? Yeah, but they building bunkers with pools under that, man. Flip it again. Let me show you the schematics of it. Look. Look, super rich, building doomsday bunkers. Come on, flip it again. Look at that. Look how they building that down under that. What I'm telling you, man, the Europeans and our Caucasian brothers and sisters, they putting food away, yeah. It's the Hebrews that don't know nothing about it. And when it fall out, guess what? Ain't going to be no food stamps, no. You're going to wait on that Social Security or that welfare check. You're going to wait on it, and it ain't going to come. And you're going to wait on help, and help not going to come. But you're finally in a place where if help going to come, you better help yourself. You and the Lord. And the Lord trying to help you now. Get ready. Oh, God, have mercy. Now, some people that's super spiritual, caught up in the false denominations and false doctrine of the church, they won't come here. I'm just going to rely on God. Hamish, that's how they do. I ain't getting ready. God going to take care of me. God trying to take care of you now. You know what he's trying to give you? Wisdom. You understand what I'm saying? That's what he's trying to give you. But when you take that away from idiotic doctrine and you actually apply that to the Bible teaches us to prepare. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. If you're prudent, if you're wise, God said, you see danger coming, you see evil coming, and guess what you do? You take precautions and measures to protect yourself. But the simple, they pass on. I'm asking you this morning not to be simple. Another scripture that provides a theological basis for us to prepare would be none other than the 10 virgins. Because you had 5 wise and you had 5 who were foolish. And the Bible says in Matthew 25:3, they that were foolish took their lamps, but took what? No oil. No supplies with them. But what? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lambs. And guess what the end of the story say? The 5 foolish who didn't prepare, guess who they gonna run to get something? And the 5 wise say, we get to you, we ain't gonna have nothing. You better go back to town and get your own. You gonna be wise? Or you gonna be foolish? The Bible say, consider even the ant. Because the ant's wiser than some of us. Come on, come on. I got to throw this on you like cold water so you can get it. I don't know when I'm going to be back here, but I'm here now, and I'm hoping to get the shock and awe effect that I need to get out of you. We got some, amen, that's not as wise as the ants. Pastor, why are the ants so wise? Well, the ants prepare. The ants know that summer and springtime is when they get their food on. But winter is coming. When winter comes, won't be any bugs to eat on. Won't be too much food. Food won't be plenteous. Amen. They go through it every year. They go through feasts and famine every year. But during the times of feast, the Bible says the ants
are a people not strong, yet they prepare. They prepare their meat in the summer. Let he who has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is telling the church this morning. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! So you save food. Let me give you another one. Joseph told Pharaoh, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Take a fifth, put 20% away. Hebrews, put 20% of food. But let me give you another one right quick. Start to put 20% of money away as well. Money away as well. Money. Start saving money right now. 20% would be great. So the way it look as far as, amen, our budgets, 10% tithe, 20% saving, I live on 70%. That's the way it go, bro. That's the way it go. Dave Ramsey talks about having an emergency fund. An emergency fund of at least $1,000. But you want to get to a point where you could survive 3 to 6 months without money coming in. Did you hear that? You want to get your emergency fund to the place where you could survive at least three months without any money coming in. Just imagine that. You got enough money in the bank that if they fired you and you was off 3 months, it wouldn't affect you. Amen. You can keep on living. You see? Market Watch, amen, which is a media outlet, they had an article that says millions of Americans are one paycheck from being out on the streets, living check to check. If one paycheck didn't come in, amen, they may not have their car, they may not have their house, they could be out on the street. And sad to say, this is the way the American system works. It works, amen, to allow you to work most of your time, amen, and then spend all your money on the false luxuries and accoutrements that they invent to keep you bound. And we spend it on stuff that we really don't need. All right? And so here we are, amen. We got things that we think are necessities, but they actually are not. I can't live without my phone. Yes, you can. I can't live without cable. Yes, you can. I can't eat but this high type diet. No, you could. But the system is designed to keep you working. Because the more you work, the less you're going to be in tune with what's really going on. You're caught up in the rat race. You're like the hamster in the wheel. And all you're doing is running, but you don't know what's going on in the aquarium around you. It's designed for that. We need to get ourselves in a position of first savings, and then ultimately where we can work for ourselves and have some time to spend with family and with the Lord. Come on, give God some glory, amen? All right. Now watch this, Duck. It's going to take a turn. So we save food. We save money. Because money is going to be a great short-term fix when things began to go bad. All right? When they began to go bad, Keith, and people start losing jobs, amen, you'll have something to kind of keep you going. You'll have some what we call liquidity to keep yourself going. All right? But don't you dare think that money is the savior, that money is your last line of preparation, because the time can come and will come in America, like it did before, when the banks will close their doors and you will go to slide to get out of that savings. And they're going to say, we ain't got nothing for you today. I'm talking about a time that could come that some people call a dollar collapse, where the money won't be worth the paper that is printed upon. So while you go ahead, save food, put you some cash away, that's only one level of savings. You're going to have another level that we're going to get into right here. Is this too deep for y'all? See, because the people online, they know how important this is, what I'm telling y'all, yeah. See, you want me to talk about you being the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You want me to tell you how blessed you are and how you can come get your healing. That's not for today. Amen. That's not for today. I'm coming with a prophetic word about what's to come. So you want to prepare. I can't tell you when, but you want to be ready. So you want to put away food. You want to put away some cash. But you want to find what I would term and what other investors term alternative stores of value. You want to find your store of value. What is that, Pastor? You want to convert your money into other things that will hold value. No matter what happens to our economy, no matter what happens to the dollar, you want to find things that have value regardless of the political or economic atmosphere and situation. Is that all right? You see, because when the banks close and the dollar go down, some things will still be valuable. You want to begin to convert that cash into those things. The Spirit telling me keep going. The Spirit telling me to keep going with this. That you're big enough for this. All right? Yeah. Your pastor believes that the dollar is going to collapse. I can't tell you when, but it will. Don't you dare sit in America and think that nations last forever. They don't. Historically and politically speaking, nations are just a drop in the bucket to God. And they last one day and the next day they're gone. Pastor, how can you speak for certainty that the dollar will eventually collapse? Well, looking at empirical evidence and examples of what's going on in the system right now, they're really getting ready for it. Might be a little too deep to talk about, so let me go biblical with you. All right? The dollar has to collapse to be in line with the eschatology of the Bible. All right. The last days prophecies in the Bible don't ever speak about a dollar. It speaks of a one world government with a one world religion with a one world currency. The dollar is not that. The book of Revelation speaks of a one world currency. Amen. That is so embedded in all the people of the earth that no one will be able to buy or sell without it. And that currency will be identified by a mark, a number. A mark and a number of who? Of the beast. Oh, now y'all following me. Now, I ain't got no dollar. It's not it. No. Got nothing about a dollar in these last days. That's why I know it's not going to be here in a little while. A little while you're going to look for it, it won't be here. You might as well put one up on your wall as a souvenir. So when you have some dollars saved up, convert it. Look for stores of wealth, things that will retain the wealth, because the dollar, the 20, won't be worth the same 20. We got people in here that can say it. Mr. Chasson, huh? Is that $10 worth what it used to be worth? Could it go in that grocery store and buy what it used to buy? I used to walk to the store with 30 cents and go get me something with 30 cents. Amen. Them young people are like, ooh, Pastor, you're old. I ain't that old, but I'm just saying. That's how far the money's value has fallen. You go there, 30 cents, get your pie, get your two pie. You know what I'm saying? Get your little jungle juice, big brother, you know what I'm talking about. Penny can and a little soda. A soda? This day? It's a dollar something, man. Clyde, you feel me? Steve, you feeling me? The value. He's going, I was looking for Steve, Miss Andrew. He's working?
Amen. Yes, right. Sir.
Right. Praise the Lord. The value. And it's continually going down. So you want to find something where you take that 20 and you put it in another item. The 20 fall fast, but that item will retain his wealth. Are you with me so far? That's what you need to look for. Stores of wealth. Let me give you something. Pastor, you're preaching a conference message for church. Yeah. We need this. All right? You want to look a good store of wealth, precious metals. Precious metals. All right? You want to try to get you some gold and some silver. All All right? And not that fake gold, not that fake suit. No costume jewelry. Ain't going to be worth nothing, just like the dollar. All right? Won't get you a little coin. Hey, God, even if you won't go in the hood, get you a little chain or two. But you better have some of it. All right? Now, investors will get mad at me for saying this. People that's in the field of investments get mad right now because I'm saying convert your cash into gold. They get mad at me, but they don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you taking gold and silver as an investment. I'm not talking about an investment. I'm talking about a store of wealth. That's a whole totally different thing. Because gold retains its value. And no matter what happens in the world, it's going to always be valuable. Pastor, how you know? Let's go back to the Bible. Why do you think God say in the end times, the New Jerusalem, the streets going to be made of, oh, yeah, because it's valuable. Are you with me so far? It's a valuable commodity, and it's going to always be valuable. Right? That fiat currency won't, but gold and silver will be. Now, when you study nations in history, in politics, a lot of times what you want to look for is test case scenarios. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, if you want to know how the collapse is going to look in America, you study collapses in other nations. Well, what did you see, Pastor? Well, it don't take us long. All you got to do is just go to the Southern Hemisphere, and Venezuela is in the midst of a collapse right now. Do you know what the Venezuelans, when they Bolivar, when they dollar fell, you know what they went to buy things? One of the things they went to was gold. The other thing was silver. And the next I'm going to tell you in a second. According to a missionary in Venezuela who lives and works in Venezuela, a single ounce of silver, because of how the economy fell, could buy enough food for a family to last how many months? 3 months. You got to understand, an ounce of silver today is like about $20-something dollars. Now, you and your family, y'all can afford to take $20-something dollars, go down there and buy your little silver coin and put that on the side. Trouble happened, you got 3 months of food. Now, if you really know what's going on, you wouldn't just get you one. Look what the missionary said about gold. Silver could buy food for how many? 3 months. In a collapse. And an ounce of gold could buy your what? Bam. You see, as the dollar goes down, gold goes up. I think I have a slide. Come on, give me another slide. All right? That's the price of gold. Now, in 1972, gold was $38. You want to know what it is right now? It's $1,300, somewhere around $68. That's what it is. And I just checked it last night, but it might be different. In 1972, $38, and now it's like $1,300. Which one is losing value? So, investor, keep your opinion to yourself, and you go get you some gold and some silver. All right? Y'all still up out there? Yes. Precious metals, all right? Get you some food. Get you some money to save for some liquidity. Find yourself some stores of wealth. Amen. The next thing, amen, I'm into cryptocurrencies. I don't care what is going on right now. And the reason is, and when I say cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ripple, you know what I'm saying, Litecoin. Parker, what's another one, Parker? Is it what? Tron, amen, Bitcoin. You say, Pastor, why are you into that? Well, test case study again. When the Venezuelan market went down, guess what the rich people did in Venezuela? They bought gold, they bought silver, and they took their money and they hid it in the cryptocurrencies. Because all the Bolivar, their dollar, was going straight down the tube. They needed some place to put their money. They put it in cryptocurrencies. And guess what? In Venezuela, the rich who put their money in cryptocurrency, they still got money. Those that had cash, the Bolivar, they don't have nothing no more. I'm going to move on. I'm good. Number three, Real estate. Take your money and buy you some land. In fact, some people say you don't just save the gold just to save the gold. You go ahead and save the gold to buy you some houses or some land. Well, why land? Because it don't matter how much the dollar is worth. Land is always be valuable. Why? Because God only made a certain amount of it, and he ain't making no more of it. And so if you have it, it's valuable. It's valuable. All right? Get you some land. Now, I'm going to drop something on you. I probably shouldn't even be saying, but I'm going to drop it on you. Get you some agricultural land. Ooh, something with a little space where you can grow some stuff. I'm going to tell you why. Because in collapse, food is going to be precious. If you or your team know how to grow food, you're going to be a very wealthy person. It's too much fun, Pastor. All right, then keep going. Joseph said, put away, because it's coming. Let me tell you what else, okay? I'm going to go through these quickly. Seeds. Get you some seeds, because you can't have land and no seeds. You're just going to look at the land. You got to better put something in it. Oh, man, some people going to like this one. What do I say, Pastor? What's another store of wealth? Guns and ammo. This is my favorite two words. I could have named two of my children that. Come here, guns. And we'll wash them dishes. Duck, I know you're not laughing. Why? Well, guns are a store of wealth because they're always going to be valuable. Sad to say, because of the wickedness of men, we're going to always need them until our Lord returns. And could you imagine in a collapse? Yeah, some people going to go in their little spot, and they're going to eat and chill and be peaceful. But not everybody will. In fact, when the man down the street know that you have yours, and he didn't prepare, you know what he come into. So that's why places like heavy weapons come into play. All right? And man of God, listen, reason with your wife. I'm not spending this money. No, I'm not spending this money.
Thank you, Pastor.
The money will not be spent. When I take the money and purchase this toy, I mean this thing, the money will still be in the thing. It is a store of wealth. And in calamity, actually, this thing will increase in wealth. Ms. Chantel saying, move on, Pastor. But this thing will increase in wealth because everybody will be looking for one. And the things to put in them. So when I paid $300 or $400 for it, and it collapsed, what would they give for it? What would they give for it? Anybody want to keep it real? Let's move fast, like Ms. Chantel said. Survival supplies, which we've already talked about. This one right here, I put for my big brother, vintage cars. Amen. I put that just for you, big brother. Because as I was researching, amen, right before the collapse, these things are going to be very valuable. We've seen that vintage cars have increased value 456%. You buy an old car for $1,000, that thing probably be worth $8,000, $9,000 down the road. And then if an EMP hit and all them fuel injectors are burning out, you're going to need a good carburetor. You know what I'm saying? Vintage cars, diamonds, art. Look at verse 35, Genesis 41. Joseph told him, he says, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food where? In the cities. And this is what we're going to be about, all right? We're going to gather individually as families, but we're going to put some food, amen, in the church, amen. So that when our people need, we might have a little bit to be able to sustain them. Because it'll be very hard, amen, for all of us to still be, you know what I'm saying, looking good, got some space, amen, and other people don't have nothing. And so you not only want to save for yourself, but as a church, we could save for the community. Bring it to the storehouse so there might be food in the city. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Verse 36, and that food shall be for store to the land of Egypt, to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land not perish. And then it says this, not through the famine. All right. Storing up food will help us just through the famine. But you got to understand that during collapse and calamity, you have other variables that may come up. All right? So when I told you, I say, listen, I'm saying food, but there's other things that you better get your hands on, amen, because, amen, situations occur. All right? You're not only going to need food, you're going to need medicine, especially those who take medicine. You want to try to get your hands on medicine. All right? You want to try to look, you know, put your little extra on the side. I can't tell you everything up here. You know what I'm saying? But you can do it. All right? You want to stack up on some things. You see? Some people saying, Pastor, I'm going to need my blood pressure medicine. Well, ain't going to be no more fast food till your blood pressure going to go down. We're going to be eating all good stuff. Cabbage and corn and in fact, you might not need no medicine at all when we get back to the land. Or we're going to get our diet right one way or the other. I just thought I'd throw that in before we conclude. Right? Food, medicine, shelter, security. Right? Come on, we almost done. 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. In the eyes of all his servants. And so Pharaoh, when he heard Joseph, the interpretation, and also the administration, not just the problem, but how to solve it. Put a governor up there, put some administrators under him, you know, go ahead and save 20%. You know, when they heard that, Pharaoh was really excited. And his court, you see, his servants were excited too. And some people say, the commentators say that the servants of Pharaoh were excited because they liked the position that Joseph had invented pretty much. And they sitting there and it's like, ooh, yeah, Pharaoh, that's a good idea. You could put me governor and I'm going to take care of that. So they was all excited because they was all thinking about themselves, you know. And what I saw in this, amen, is that when Pharaoh was looking for a leader, amen, everybody want to lead, but their heart wasn't on the people before this. Their heart came on the people after they heard the vision. And that's not what you want to pick as a leader. They just want to selfishly get in position, amen, but they ain't never cared about the people, never cared about preparing, never cared about saving the city. They just want the title. And the accolade, you know? And so they was excited. Yeah, that sounded like a good idea. But what they didn't know, Pharaoh wasn't going to pick none of them. Pharaoh picked Joseph. And the reason he picked Joseph is in verse 38. And we're going to stop on this verse right here. We're going to stop. I'm going to talk about it for a little while, but we're going to stop on this verse. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Pharaoh said, yeah, that's a good idea. And guess what? You're going to be the man that fulfill and implement that plan. You know? Why? Because you have the Spirit of God in you. Yeah. Right? This was the determining factor of leadership. Pharaoh was looking for somebody with the Spirit of God. Right? This Egyptian Gentile leader has more wisdom than a lot of the Hebrews because he's looking for the Spirit of God. Remember, he come from a godless nation. He knows that if you have a leader who has the Spirit of God, you can't lose because the letter kill it, but the Spirit brings life. If you have a leader, amen, filled with the Spirit of God, amen, hallelujah, hey, God, everything's going to work out. Because the Spirit leads us into all truth. Huh? If you got a leader with the Spirit of God, hey, God, you ain't going to be bound, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Huh? If you have a leader with the Spirit of God, amen, they won't overcome you, because greater is he who's within you than he that works within the world. Pharaoh said we need somebody to lead us with the Spirit of God. Here's a message to my nation, the Hebrews. The Hebrews need a leader. Are you with me so far? You see how Joseph told that to Pharaoh? Tough times coming. You're going to have somebody over this. I want to say the same thing to our Hebrew brothers and sisters. Sure, we the people. Sure, amen, in a year or so, amen, we're going to experience, amen, an awakening and revelation like never before on a national scale. But tough times coming. And guess what? We need a leader. And by no way stretch of imagination, don't come here saying, oh, pastor trying to make himself nothing. No, no, no. I'm saying we need one. Now, who they choose to put, that's on them, but we need one. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, without a leader for our people, we don't have a voice. We don't have unity, and we don't have progress. See, all our leaders was killed, y'all. We were not always leaderless, no. We had leaders in times past. Remember Martin Luther King? Huh? Remember Martin? Dr. King? A leader. And when we had a leader, we had one voice, we had unity, and we were going someplace. Anybody hear me up in here? That was progress. Hebrews, we need a leader again. We're so divided. Everybody got a different opinion on which direction the nation is going. We need one voice again. We divided, and the house divided against itself cannot stand. We got some Republicans and some Democrats and some independent. Forget about all these worldly parties that's run by the same people, and let's come together. Let's come together and be one. Well, pastor, we need to be one with everybody. We cannot be one with everybody unless we one with each other. All right? We got to be one with us first. You see, we need a leader, man. When people like King were around, amen, hallelujah, we were going somewhere. But let me speak just what Joseph was saying here. And just what Pharaoh was looking for is what we need. We need somebody, not just anybody, but we need somebody with the Spirit of God in them. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? You see, Martin was affected because Martin was saved and Martin knew the Lord and Martin came with the voice of the Lord for our nation. We don't need no unsaved, worldly, heathenistic, reprobate, wicked leader. If we get that, we're not going nowhere, and that's all we've been having. Pedophiles and adulterers, that's all. Sellouts and Judases. Cameramen, men that love to be on the camera. We need a leader with the Spirit of God, with a good mind and a good heart. We need a leader with the Spirit of the Most High God. That's what we need. That's what we need. Man, I'm telling you, man. And listen, I ain't running for nothing. I'm looking at the scripture and telling you what we need as a nation. They pick somebody with the Spirit of God, I'm going to fall in line too. Amen. The Hebrews need a leader. All right? Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, you are not my people, There, in that place, it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. That's now. That's today. How they laugh and ridicule, you're not the people. No, God said, you're really the people. And you are the sons of the living God. That's what you are. Look at the next verse. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together. And this is what they're going to do. And appoint themselves one head, a leader. What's going to happen after they appoint themselves one head? And they shall come up out of the land. That's what we need. That's what we need. The division got to stop. The rebellion got to stop. The Jim Crow backbiting, stabbing each other. And listen, listen, listen to me good. The ones that's doing the division are really the ones that's sent among us. You're going to know the fake ones because they're going to be the ones that's stopping us from being one. They sent. They sent. We need a leader, man. Joseph say, find you somebody to appoint over this business. And Pharaoh say, I'm going to choose you because you got the spirit of the living God. Now listen to me here. If you're in this place and you want to be used by God in this movement for Hebrews and Gentiles alike, for black and Europeans alike, because what you don't know is that when we get right, amen, God, amen, is going to take the other races as well. And then he's going to put us together into one kingdom. Hallelujah. He's going to cut a rock out the mountain and he's going to smite the Babylonian image on the foot and break it in pieces. The kingdom going to be made of every nationality, of every race. But they're not going to put us down and they're going to know exactly who we are. If you want to be a part of this and instrumental in it, you got to have the Spirit of God. You don't get the Spirit of God by living under the law. Galatians said, did you receive the Spirit by the law or did you receive it by grace and the cross of Calvary? And the new covenant and the new testament. Don't look at nobody that's living under the letter. The letter kill it. But it's the spirit that bring it life. Even a heathenistic leader like Pharaoh says, we're looking for a leader with what? With the spirit of God, of Elohim. They got to have Ruah. And to have the spirit, you got to be saved. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are none of His. How do we get the Spirit of the living God in us? We admit that we sinners. We believe in Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. We go back to the cross. And we confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, our Father. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:13 that after we believe the truth, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Given a new heart and a new start. You want to be used by God? You want to be spared by God? You want to be saved by God? You want to be blessed by God? You get saved and you receive the Holy Spirit. He's looking for leaders with the Spirit of God. And there will be many who claim to be saved and claim to be of God when they are not of Him. And how will I know, Pastor? You will know them by their fruit. All that cursing, cutting up, womanizing, and polygamy, and all of that. All of that desire and pedophilia, all of that. He's looking for people with the Spirit of God. And the fruit is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. You're looking for the love, not the hate. You're looking for the joy, not the rage and depression. You're looking for the peace of God. You will know him clearly when you see him. Listen, Philly, and people that's listening, that's with this new covenant Hebrew movement. Don't you dare listen to anybody that you can't see the fruit of the Spirit. If they don't look like Jesus, then they're not following Jesus. If they're full of expletives and cursing and nothing but sin and violence and rage and no peace and no love, what are you looking at? Where are you eating? Do you grab the grapes among thorns? Do you get fresh water from bitter? Know where you're eating. You shouldn't even be watching. Shouldn't even be listening. That's a simple thing to know. There were false prophets among us. Even as there are false prophets in Peter's day. And how shall we know them? How shall we know them? You will know them by their fruit. They could judge me, but you know me, and you know how I'm striving to live. And I tell every single one of them, when you judge me, be careful, because you better be living better than me. You better be living better than me, and not living better than me by the law, but be living better than me by the law of Christ, which is a higher law, a law that says, love my enemies, do good to those who despise me and curse me, pray for them. And that's what I'm doing. You better be living better than me. You better be living better than me. You better be living better than me. You better be faithful to that wife. You better be living better than me. You better be taking care of them kids. You better be living better than me. Before you judge me. Because the ones that say I'm not living by the law, if we put our lives side by side. If we put our lives side by side. Because if you know about the new covenant, he says I'm going to put the law inside the heart and cause them to walk in it. And cause them to walk in it. A higher law. A higher law. The Christ law. The law of our Messiah. He's looking for someone with the Spirit of the living God. Don't be confused. This is simple. This is simple. Stick to Christ. Stick to the cross. You will never be deceived. Know your word. Stay in the new covenant. You will never be deceived. Look at how they're living. Look at what's coming out of their mouth. You will never be deceived. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Come on, give God some glory here. You'll never be deceived. You'll never be deceived. You'll never, ever be deceived. We need a leader, but we need somebody with the Spirit of the living God. If not, we will go nowhere. There will be no progress and no unity. Keep on following them. You're going to be alone in your house looking at it on TV and on YouTube with no progress. If you're here and you don't know if you're saved today, if you're here, you want to be part of this new thing that God is doing in the earth. You want to make your declaration sure this morning that you're not letting go of Messiah. That you're not going to take the new covenant he purchased in his blood and trample it underfoot. What in the world is wrong with you? You know what this cost him? You think if you'd want to leave us back there in the old covenant, he would have came and died and suffered under the hands of sinful men? reject the gift. Sure, the first covenant was given to us by angels. But the second covenant was given to us from the very hands of God himself, come down in the form of a man. To live the life we could not live, die the death that we deserve, and raise again so that we can live. What better covenant is that? Throwing away a diamond for a glass of milk. We will be one. We will be one. We will be one. Listen, the altar is open. Come and pray with you, Pastor. Watch what you eat and watch what you drink. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. It's simple. It's simple. Come on, let's pray. Say, God, our Father. Yahweh, we come to you in the name of Yahshua Jesus. We thank you for making it plain. We thank you for making it simple. We thank you for warning us of what's to come. Now, Lord, receive our repentance. We admit we've sinned against you. And we're sorry. I'm sorry. But I believe that you died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose with all power. Yeshua, save me. Give me a new heart. And a new start. Renew my mind. Fix me in the new covenant. Plant me in the cross. Cement me in your blood. I don't want to ever leave your gospel. You are the only way for me to be saved. I can never do it on my own, with my own works, or following your law. It's only through Jesus, Yahshua, my Savior. Now, Lord, help me be a person with a good mind and a good heart. Fix me, Lord. Help me to find out my gifts, my talents. Help me to learn some skills, to be resourceful and useful for your work. But also, fix my broken heart. Help me to be honest, to be true, to be loyal, to be committed. And when you appoint me, make me faithful and trustworthy. Help me, Lord, a good mind and a good heart. And now, Lord, stir up my gifts. Help me to be a Joseph. Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit.
When trouble comes,
I will be ready.
In Jesus' name.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen. You want to pray for the administrators? Listen, we got administrators in here. And I'm going to let First Lady pray over the administrator. That Joseph anointing. That God will call you when his people are in trouble to be able to administrate our way through some trouble.
And Father, I do lift up all the administrators, God. God, that you would awaken every gift that may be laying dormant inside all of them, God. God, I pray that you would remove every obstacle in the way for them to walk out and be a success, God. Every ounce of fear, every ounce of doubt, God, but that you would use them mightily. Give them a good mind, Lord God, so that they could plan out and prepare, Lord God, that they may be able to be very good at multitasking, God, that they would be able to be excellent and have a good sense of delegation, Lord God. I'm praying, Lord God, that you would give them wisdom on their bed, vision on their bed, direction on their bed. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would give them a planning spirit, that they would write it down, Lord God. Father, I'm praying that you would give them wisdom, discernment, vision, the know-how to get it done, Father God, and the action to follow it, God. I pray that you would anoint every administrator in this place, Lord God. Give them the creativity that they need, Lord God. Give them the boldness that they need. Use them, bless the service gifts to come alongside of them, Father. I pray that you would attract service and administration together, Father. Use them for your glory, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's a master administrator right there. Amen. So listen, we're going to get out. Amen. And let y'all get out so second service can come in. Amen. Just stay in the covenant. Strive for a good heart and a good mind. Work while it's day. Save while we have plenty. Start where you at. You might not be able to do the gold and the silver just yet, but you could do a canned good. You could do some water. Do what you can do. And God's going to do what he can do. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Peace in everything you do. Prosperity in everything you do. Yeah, trouble gonna come, but it's not you. Blood will come, but God will keep you in the flood. Keep you in the fire. He will bless you, even in the judgment time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.